Doesn't let it rise. Amen. We have come together today on this lovely day by the grace of God that we might say thank you, worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. We are delighted that God has watched over us, blessed us with the reasonable portion of health and strength, and the presence of mind to honor Him, to come together, lift our voice in thanks and praise, study His Word, and endeavor by His wondrous grace and mercy to follow gladly His commandments. And He promises even more, than being able to get up and come together and worship on Sunday. But He promises us a home eternal in heaven. Never, ever to have any sickness. And therefore, no more dying. No more dying. Well, the no more dying part includes everybody, saints and sinners. But you see, where you live, you want to live in glory land. You want to live in heaven, blissful, glorious. But those who are hard-headed, those who are disobedient in this world, they also will live in the world to come, but not with God. Punishment forever. So the human life has been designed by God to live somewhere forever. It's wonderful to know that information ahead of time. And it's also even, I don't know if this is a word, even more wondrouser, more wondrous to know what I need to do to live forever joyously with a relationship with the Creator of everything. Whole world is in His hand, and everything and everybody in it in His hands. We thank you. Those of you who are visiting with us, we're glad to see you. We trust that you will also study together with us and also study your Bible for yourself. Don't just take preacher's word or anyone else's word, but make your calling and election sure by verifying what you have come to understand and what you have come to believe is according to God's holy book, the Bible. In the book of St. Luke, the chapter is 6. For those of you who have your Bibles, Luke chapter 6. That's in the New Testament. We want to take a look at verses 46 through 49. You don't mind if we step up one verse? 45. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman's, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. This is Jesus talking to you. See that? Understand that? While He's yet on planet Earth. I was on planet Earth. My head, kiss my feet, kiss my feet. And of course, put oil on my head. My head with oil. Thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. She loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth. How much? Liveth. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins? Also, and he said to the woman, thy faith hath made thee, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Go in peace. Are you willing to do the will of God? 6:46, Luke says, why call me Lord? Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? There's a clue there for us. There is a statement loud and clear here. Maybe you say it's unsaid, but it's certainly inferred. Jesus demands obedience. Since he demands obedience, that it demands for those he is looking for to be obedient, that demands that we study his word. Study to make ourselves approved unto God. Workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The whole world belongs to Jesus. The universe, the sun, all of that belongs to Jesus. He supports, he, his Father and the Holy Spirit, supports all life everywhere. All life everywhere, including earth. Where are you? This is a question that calls for some self-investigation. Where are you in your relationship to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? According to those who study science, they are saying a number of things regarding the earth, the stars, and life on earth. It is said that the sun supports all life on earth. And the age, according to some scientists, is that it is 45 billion years old. Did you hear that? The sun. Its composition is mostly hydrogen and helium. There's a number here that I'm not sure I can read to you. I could write it. Of course, I read it. But now saying it, 2,347,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, Now double that. That's how far away the sun is. But who has ever gone that far to really know that the sun is that far? And even if they could go, How could they get close enough to measure it? Whatever it took, whatever they took to, if they could make it, whatever they took with them to measure it would melt before they could get close enough to measure it. And they might melt with it. We live in a wonderful world. You say, well, is this real? I think so. There are other planets that God put in the heavens even before he created man. He did all of that for humanity. All of that for us to be created by him, to love him and obey him. God, from the human perspective, has gone to great limits for us that we might see all that he has done for us and say, thank you, Lord, by the life that we live. Other planets there are. I'm going, don't worry, I'm getting there. Mercury. Mercury, I believe, is called the closest planet to the sun. The closest planet to the sun, 36 million miles. 36 million miles from the sun. It orbits the sun in 88 days, so the material that I read. And the surface temperature is 279,801. Now, I wonder how they got close enough to tell how hot it was. And what kind of instrument they had to measure it, and it didn't melt before. this God that loves us, he created all of this for human beings. He created Venus, one of the stars in heaven, second closest to the sun, 967,910 miles from the sun, also called the morning and the evening star. When are you going to get to it, preacher? I'm getting there. The Earth is the only planet known to have life. That's where we are. That's where we are. God knew his science. He didn't put us too close to melt or too far away to freeze to death. God, the loving God, it's the only planet where there is life like us, human beings. Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, all of those, no life. No human life. On Earth, there is all manner of life. Sometimes I just look at the little ants. They're just running where you don't want them to run, but they seem to stay busy. Every time you look at little ants, they're busy. Now, you don't know what they're busy, but they seem to be busy because peace. God is behind all of this and more. All of this that we can see and understand and even more. We can know and do know that he exists. Since the universe exhibits design, there must be a great designer. Since it shows that there, the way that it's made, that designer must be a tremendous thinker and developer. Edison said, the universe is such an engineering feat, there's much that there must be a great designer. I don't have to hear from him. I could just look at me and look at the sky and know that God exists. You say, preacher, why you talking so much about what God is? I want you to understand who and whose we are. And I want you to understand he is not just, God does not demand obedience from us just because he has the power to do that. He has gone to great length to show that he loves us. And he wants us to be faithful children. I held back nothing just for you. Even just for scenery. Just for something to look, for you to look at. Look at the trees. Look at the sky. Look at the clouds. So when I ask in my book that you be faithful, loyal, consistent servants, I demand obedience. You look at the stars. They stay where they're supposed to stay. You look at the sun. It shines when it's supposed to shine, where it's supposed to shine. And I did it all to let you know before I created you. I did that just for you. What more, church? What more? What can we even think of to ask God to do more than what he has already done? Look how wonderfully he has made us. He didn't just give us arms. At the end, he put hands. If you just had an arm, you look at a glass and you say, how am I going to pick that up? God has fixed it. We will be without excuse, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. We will be without excuse if we walk around on his earth, disobedient to his will. At the judgment, he lets us know that there's going to be a judgment. And it's real clear, particularly in Revelation chapter 20. What doth hinder you? What doth hinder one to be faithful, loyal, committed to this God who has done so much for us? And he did it in a short period of time, and he did all of that work. He did all of the beautification before he created human beings. This is an irrefutable truth. And it encourages prayerfully. It behooves each of us, as high as heaven and as deep as hell, to seek after God, that we might know his will and do his will. I've come to share with you some pertinent, important facts from this God. His book to humanity, we all know it, is the Bible. The Bible is the book that tells us about the God who created all that we can see and even more, including mineral, vegetable, animal life, and human life. Who could even think to make a human, to create a human? It's just amazing. Aren't you amazing about who you are, what you can do? Your eyes, just blink your eyes. But you don't have any eyes down here. You don't have any eyes in your hand. You got them all where God's put them, where they needed to be. Look at the hands. Can take care of the body. What a God we serve. The Bible, written over a period of 1,600 years by 40 different men from all walks of life. The Bible, as a man talks about a man by the name of Moses, he wrote in the year 1500 B.C., in the first chapter of the book of Genesis, Moses used the first 10 verses telling us about the mineral, telling us about the material, telling us about the kingdom. The next 9 verses telling about the vegetable kingdom, and the rest of the chapter telling about the animal kingdom. And finally, you human beings. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory. Listen now. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for us they are and were created. Isn't that something? In your Bible, in Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet or suitable to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath done what? Oh, yes. Brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption. Oh, church, through his blood, God's Son. Excuse me? God did all of this? And then on top of giving us all of this, he gave his Son to die, to suffer for us, in whom we have redemption through his blood, God's Son, Jesus Christ. Even the forgiveness of our sins because of what his Son has done. Verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth and that is everywhere. By him. Done by him. Whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created. Watch this now. Were created by him. And what's the rest of it? Get the text. All things were created by him, for him. Did you get that? We have some of you who missed it. By him, why did God create human beings? By him, that's the by him. The for him. The for him. God created the sun for human beings. He created the earth for human beings. He created matter for human beings. He created the humans, us, for him. Everything that you enjoy is by the grace of God. He is not overbearing. He does not ask us or command us to do anything that we are not capable of doing. He created us capable. He created a world so that we would. He created a world that we could handle. We know how to chop the ground, plant the crop and have a harvest. Eat good. Some of us have trouble. Stop eating it so much. Not altogether. All things were created by him. That's in the book. For him. And he is before all things. And by him all things consist. And that is held together. Now wait a minute. All things consist by him. Did you get that? Everything is held together by him. If all things are held together by him, guess what? You got the message? Your very body was created by him, for him. And he's the one that blessed us to have the kind of body. We got fingers because of him. We have hands because of him. We have life with a heart, boom, 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 every second that we're alive. All done, designed, and done by him, for him. Why is it so hard so challenging for us to get others who are not us's to see you were put on this earth. He created it for you, but He created it for you. He wants you to serve Him. Is that asking too much? You like tomatoes? You like sweet potatoes? You like chicken? You like fish? All created by Him for us. What's your point, preacher? Simple. Very, very simple. We have no excuse for non-performance. None. Excuses. No excuses for non-performance. You've noticed? It's even difficult for some folks who are enjoying God's blessings, breathing His air, eating His food, to come back to night church. Some churches have either closed, stopped. Churches of Christ have stopped having night church. Why? How do we say thank you? You're saying that that's too much thank you for you, for God? He's taking too much of our time, my time? Well, how many of your employers blesses you with oxygen? With eyesight. How many of your employers blesses you with your eyesight? Never ask for your dollars because I helped your eyes. Where are we, church? We serve, wrapping up, a loving God. We thank God for the precious souls that worship at this congregation. It's amazing how we, as human beings, want to mistreat God. And at the same time, have Him bless me with life, health, and strength to mistreat God. He could take us out anytime He wished. What's so difficult? He created us. He created the world. He knows what we have the capability of doing. What He is commanding us to do, the way He commands us to live, it's for our benefit. He wants to enjoy what He has created us. He created us for Him. He created this down here for us. We don't have one argument. Not even one argument to fuss with God about. He covered all the bases before He created male and female human beings. Church, listen. I want to live with the Father in glory land forever. I want others to know the glorious blessings that God has yet in store for us. We think that this world is great, and it is absolutely beyond the word great. But he has something even greater waiting for us. We've read about it. We've read the book of Revelation. What does hinder us to be saved? What does hinder us to honor God better than we honor our supervisor that only gives us dollars? And that's only for a season. Pretty soon, you're too old to work. Goodbye. God has a home, eternal home, waiting for us. Aren't you glad about that? If you live here and struggles to stay here as long as you can, he has something even better than this. Live right, act right, talk right, and go on to glory land. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, everywhere, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things have been created by God for God. Everything belongs to him. Our God is before all things and by all things. And everything is held together. All things consist, our Bible says, which means held together in this case. For, and he is the head of the body, he is the head of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that all things he might have the last say. Where are you this morning? What is your relationship with God? No matter who you are, no matter where you go or what you do, there's coming a day, there is coming a time when you're going to face God. We're all going to be judged one day by God. Not your supervisor on the job, by God. That's in your Bible, Revelation chapter 20. And he also talks about the beautiful place that he has waiting for us. And nothing can compare to how God does things. Look at all the people that's in this room. How is it, if you had to design a face for every person in this room, you wouldn't be able to do it? I wouldn't either. But when you meet Sally Sue, you know Sally Sue. When you meet Jimmy Jones, you see that's Jimmy Jones. When you see certain people, you know that's so and so. That's so and so. Just by looking at them. All these people on the universe that has ever lived and ever will live, God designs them. We'd run out after two if we got to that many. How gracious our Heavenly Father is. Church, listen carefully. God has blessed us with the presence of mind, not only to hear the gospel, but to have obeyed the gospel. We have become his adopted children. Our Bible also says, for God so loved the world, which shares with us in simple terms that God wants all human beings to obey his gospel. He wants it so much, he sent his only begotten Son to provide a way for him to adopt us
All we need to do, all we have to do, is to follow his adoption plan and go and live with him forever. He loved us. That's why he created us. We sin. He sent his son to provide a method by which we could be blessed again. Sins forgiven. So that we can no matter how you say it, come to him so that he could adopt us as his dear children. He's not adopting disobedient children. He wants us. And he's not picking us out. He is just telling us what we need to do and to be. And he'll bring us in. But some of you have already started. Well, when are you going to quit? I'm going to quit. And I'll see you next Sunday. What if God said that to you? I'll see you next Sunday. He didn't say where. You wouldn't want God to stop loving you, providing for you, and blessing you to enjoy what he has put here, everything he's put here that you can handle, that you can copy, that you can see, find, deal with. Comes from him. Comes from him. Now that God has saved us, church, we are more than what we have become. He has saved us. Let us give others. Let me rephrase that. Let us continue to give others the privilege of knowing what you know regarding salvation. People you know, they're not members of the body of Christ. They're not servants of God. They may not realize that because we are so far from studying the Word of God in so many instances. That's our role. That's our role. And this congregation has known for years how to talk to others. We are more than what we have become. God has done us a favor by sending his son. Let us do God a favor by, number one, living the life his son wants us to live, and then sharing with others. Bold enough to share with others the blessings that they can enjoy by being a safe, faithful child of God. If you're here this morning, you want to be a child of God, you want to serve him because you love his love, and you want to go to heaven when you die to live with him forever as opposed to hell and be in torment forever. Oh. Bible talks about torment, fire forever. Five things. Hear the word of God. You've already done that. Faith, believe the word of God. Already shared it with you. He has only had one church. Jesus only has one church. He didn't have two churches. He has one. He didn't have a Baptist and a Methodist church or anything else. He just has one church, the Church of Christ. He handpicked the men, 12 of them, to go and carry his message. One of them disobeyed him, but another one took his place. Still 12. There are people that you know that I don't know. Encourage them. Give them a 3D card. They're on the tables on each side. People are dying, lost. We know it, but they don't know it in many cases. They believe that they're on their way to glory land. God's going to say, all right, I forgive you here. Just go on to heaven. That's not going to happen according to the Bible.
It's going to be a judgment day, and God keeps the record. He keeps mine, he keeps yours, he keeps all human beings' record. He's going to present the record. Revelation chapter 20, you can read it. He's going to present the record, and we're going to be judged by what's on the record that was kept in heaven. If we kept it, we'd all go to heaven. But God keeps the record. You want to hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And if you go to heaven, you might hear some preaching in heaven that's a whole lot longer than what I preach. You say you don't want to go? No, you didn't say that. Make your calling and election sure. Church, God gives us time. God is not ungodly. He gives us time. And when he says that's enough time, that's it. That's it. I was blessed to come today. You were blessed to come today. And we pray, God, that we will be blessed to come many more days. But we don't know that. The time that we know about is now. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't even know what this afternoon holds. We may have hopes. Are you a member of the Church of Christ? Are you a member of the Church of Christ? And if you're not, my question to you is, where do you read about the church that you are a member of and supporting in God's Bible? Because the Revelation chapter 20, it plainly says that this book is going to be open at the judgment. And if yours ain't, excuse me, is not in here, you can't be saved. Because it's not God's book. It's not God's book. It's just that simple. No misunderstanding. No misrepresentation. God's book, the Bible, says you must hear my word, believe my word, be godly sorrowful for the sinful life that you've lived to this point, and be buried in water baptism for the forgiveness of every sin you've ever committed by acknowledging your Son Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I'll save you. The water is ready. The garments are ready. The baptizer is ready. Are you ready to do it God's way? Not your way. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. You can come here today. And if you do come, I'll ask you the question. Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And if you answer in the affirmative, you're acknowledging your faith in Jesus Christ. Take you and baptize you. The baptizer's here. The baptizing garments are here. If you're also in the building, you're already in the body of Christ, but you're up and down. You're not faithful. You're not steadfast. You're more faithful to your job than you are to come in worshiping the Lord. And your job doesn't have a place for you in eternity. Come on home. Come on home. Renew your covenant. Rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. And we'll pray the Father for your forgiveness. As you together stand, you come.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you full in trusting in his grace this hour?
Are you washed
in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood
of the
Lamb? Are your garments by this are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Before we go any further, let me again endeavor to encourage you to do the truth, to obey the truth that you know. You say, "Well, I think I'm going to do that." Do you know its truth? Do you know its truth? You know its truth because you can read it. So you know its truth.
But what you don't know, you see, you can't control both those variables. You can't control whether or not you're going to have the time again to obey the truth that you know. The only time that you're sure of is now. And I should have to talk this call this long. Now, I talk this loud. I just want to make sure you hear me, because I want God to know that I told His truth to you. Make your calling and election sure. There's not one way, I mean two ways, three ways. There's only one way to become a Christian in the eyes of God. We don't read about what one, the Bible gives us one way to be saved. Not two. And He adds, once we obey the truth that He says, He adds you to His church, the Church of Christ. Yes, sir. So it's not me. It's God. But it is me wanting to please God. And I want you to know His truth. Of course, now, you don't have to go to heaven. That's why God created a place called hell that the Bible talks about. So you can decide which one you want to go to. But I recommend heaven. We'll sing one more stanza. Give you a little bit more time to come on down. Give your life to Jesus.
Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
You may be seated.
Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb, are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
You may be some may